morning, everyone. Well, my first ideas about stewardship were shaped by a childhood steeped in Baptist culture in an agrocentric town where everyone knew everybody else's business and church attendance stats. So as a good small-town Baptist, I grew up taking tithing and church membership very seriously. For as long as I can remember, I've had a deeply internalized notion that 10% of income is to be given to the church. There was an annual side discussion about whether that was net or gross, and how your point of view might reflect the state of your soul, but never a disagreement about the act of tithing and the amount, 10%. I also remember Stewardship Sunday as very exciting, because that was the day those little boxes emblazoned with your family name and filled with 52 identical envelopes were set out on that back table, visible to all who exited after the stewardship sermon. If you weren't present on Stewardship Sunday and your box was still there during coffee time, it was duly noted and you were put on the call list. Now, as quaint or familiar or even legalistic as this may sound, you know, I'm glad for this early experience because a reflex towards participation became ingrained in me. Yet nowadays, it doesn't feel as simple as it was before. The church for my family of origin was everything. We attended on Sunday mornings, often Sunday evenings, and then there was choir rehearsal, youth group, and small group Bible studies. I'm seeing some heads nodding out there. We saw family and neighbors there. All our giving was directed to and through the church. It was a completely cohesive lifestyle. Sounds a little divine now, right? And it was. As a kid, I belonged. Then, as I left for college and my world grew larger, I started noticing a few things when I returned. Sunday was the most homogeneous day of my week. In sermons and even in casual conversation, we favored this insider-outsider imagery, easily calling ourselves believers, churched, and saved, and equally easily labeling others non-believers, unchurched, and certainly not saved. We gathered frequently, and that's no small thing these days, but we didn't head out much as a church unless it was to a family or youth camp with more people just like us. And back to tithing. I knew that most of our tithing went to support the church and denomination, as was befitting. We truly valued membership and belonging in that community. And the rest went to the missionaries, those people who were called to save souls and care about the crises in the rest of the world. It was a very narrow viewpoint. Brené Brown writes of this in her new book, Braving the Wilderness, and she observes, "We are more sorted than we have ever been in the history of the United States. We have built ideological bunkers. We are more likely now to live with, worship with, and go to school with people who are politically and ideologically like-minded." In 2010, my 107-year-old home church did a rigorous self-evaluation and dropped the denomination descriptor, Baptist, from its name. And here's a quote from the newspaper with some of the reasons why. Some people thought it was a church for only old people, Estes said. Others thought we'd be rigid, inflexible, narrow-minded. One young Latina woman told me her grandmother was pleading with her not to go to a Baptist church because it was racist and we would hurt her. Ouch. And yes, that is the place we had poured our lives into. And I thank God they have found the courage and the leadership to stop, honestly reflect, challenge one another and the status quo, and start the very hard work of change. Christianity, the church, change, and stewardship has a complicated history. Ever since Paul's mission split off from Peter's, and we ended up with four guiding gospels, not one, there's been room for innovation and confusion. So how do we respond? What is God-shaped stewardship? Especially in a climate where who is my neighbor is coming under intense scrutiny. And the growth of nones, spelled N-O-N-E-S, and nones, those who are religiously or denominationally unaffiliated, are the fastest growing segment of Christian faith. Here are some things I've been thinking about. First, God-shaped stewardship starts with God. Now that may sound obvious, but it doesn't start with this season or this sermon or even our church budgets. It starts with God. It's a mindset that acknowledges that every brain cell, talent, and superpower you may have, even the movement of your arms and legs and feet from here to there, is given to us by God. And if you today decided to dedicate every second to God 24/7, 365 days a year for the rest of your life, you really wouldn't be giving anything to God that wasn't God's already. A touchstone moment of this for me was as an adopting parent standing in front of a California state judge during our adoption of first Noemi and then Nate. And at first he was smiling and admiring our family, and then he sobered. And he reminded us that this is for real, that we have the great privilege of welcoming these children into our lives and family, and that we better stand in, stand up, and stand by them, no matter what, forever. I'll never forget that. Can we cultivate a stewardship mindset? Yes, it's a process and it's intentional. When we gather here weekly in community, we're reminded of who we are in relationship to God and what we are here to do, to care well for one another and all of God's creation. And then we're nourished to do so through the Eucharist. It can be cultivated daily by practicing gratitude for even a second as an antidote to the natural and man-made storms of our time. Second, stewardship grows through self-awareness and self-care. Most of us have either operated as or with unhealthy leaders and colleagues. Sometimes we need to press pause, check in with where we are, ask for help, and prioritize our own health so we can prepare to care again. I don't know about you, but I've had to retreat more this year than I ever have before. To regroup mentally and spiritually, And I am grateful for Matt and his recent email that communicated to us that he really gets us and what we may need during these times to heal, grow, and then contribute again. I'm also grateful for he and Lindy's models of centering prayer, healthy breaks, exercise, and humor, because that gives me permission to engage in activities that bring me health and joy too. Next, God-shaped stewardship strives for an informed awareness of our other and compels us to action on their behalf. Whether we feel like it or not, whether it's convenient or not, where they are, not where we are. At the retreat, Jenna and James talked about the ministry of proximity. Not leaning in, but living in. Stepping into another's shoes. Going to where they are, getting close, listening to, and building understanding and community with people in their neighborhoods firsthand, so we can understand the complexities of their lives, systems that might be hurting them, break down boundaries between us, and then realistically assess together the commitment it's going to take for real long-term change. And proximity changes us, too. My understanding of love your neighbor as yourself is grounded in Leviticus 19:34, where God reminds Israel, when a foreigner lives with you in your land, don't take advantage of him. Treat the foreigner the same as a native. Love him like one of your own. Remember that you were once foreigners. One of the commitments we've made as a family is to travel and learn and serve in developing countries, in the less comfortable places where we don't know the language and culture, the infrastructure can be rugged, and we don't offer much value besides proximity. Where we acutely feel a foreigner, dependent on the goodness of strangers, it changes you. And it changes who you think the real heroes are in our midst. Finally, I find stewardship most fulfilling in the context of meaningful membership. We live in a strange place, where Google is a verb, disruption is a virtue, unicorns are the holy grail, and time is the rarest commodity of all. We've got lifestyle schools, lifetime universities, and semi-pro kids sports competing for our mind share, our affiliation, and our resources. Let's just stop for a minute. Why do I stay and give to St. Mark's? Because with all my ecclesial experimentation, I have found St. Mark's to be the most genuine and inclusive community around, and its leadership to be God-shaped. I recently participated in a parent panel and group discussion here with Debbie and Lindy leading. And as the evening unfolded, I sensed that all of us recognized that something unique was happening. We came in as strangers and shared our hearts and stories without posturing or judgment. We love our kids, we have hope for our kids, and we do not have all the answers. But gosh, it was really good to be together in that humility and that truth. As Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, we are not after crowd approval, only God approval. We'll never use words to butter you up or smokescreen you. We're not going to throw our weight around or try to come across as important with you or anyone else. We take all as you are, not patronizing, never condescending, but caring for you like a mother cares for her children, loving you dearly, giving you our hearts. Now that's something I want to support, participate in, and be a member of. Amen.